This morning I want to talk to you about the greatest thing in the world. And I think that it is different for different people and at different stages of ours and their lives. We may consider the greatest thing in the world to begin with as young children, the feeling that we get presents and love and all kinds of material things from our parents, and that's great and that's wonderful. And then when we enter our teenage years, we get a car or we do something that we've wanted to do because now we're adults. We say that's the greatest thing so far. And then as we enter farther into our adulthood, we might get our first job and begin to walk up ambitiously towards our goals. And we say, this is the greatest thing that's happened to me so far. And then we get married or any number of things at any times of our lives we could say is the greatest thing so far. And the key about this is so far. The greatest thing about life is that it is not static. We are changing, evolving, and growing beings. We are here in this world to experience the lessons that are designed for our higher growth. So the greatest thing that we may say that we see outwardly may not be what we think is the greatest thing that goes on inwardly. Let me explain. We like it, and it's normal, to want to feel good and have things go well for us. This morning, I want to talk about the wonderful growth that can happen in what we call the difficult or bad times. You know, I have said, and I've heard it said, that life is a classroom designed for our growth. And some lessons and some curriculum is going to be more difficult for some than others. We show up here with, I believe, an agenda in our soul for things that we may need to learn. And I believe that we choose conditions that will help prompt our higher growth. So when we see people that struggle with one issue or another, and we're tempted to be very sad or upset about what they're going through, that's a very good thing to feel. That's a very human, wonderful thing, compassion and love and empathy. But also, we don't know at that time that we see that in somebody else or ourselves what our soul may be doing in terms of growth. If we look at this life as a, Joel Goldsmith called this, a parenthesis in eternity, in other words, 70, 80, 90 years, it doesn't seem like it makes a whole lot of sense when we see the things that certain people are called on to go through, when we see what we've called those that aren't doing very well as far as being what we think are good people, and they're rewarded greatly, and others seem to have it so difficult and just can't seem to get a foothold in this thing called life. We're tempted to judge through a very narrow prism, but today I'd like to expand our minds to the idea that at any given time we don't know for sure what's going on for the growth of the person that is involved in our life or what we see beyond the immediate acquaintances we have. We don't even know necessarily what is going on with ourselves all the time. We have conflicting ideas. We sometimes flatter ourselves and perfume affirmations and say, I am wonderful, I'm loving, I am giving. And then we hear a voice that says, yeah, but remember that time. Or, you know, you weren't quite the way you needed to be there. We'll hear the accusatory voice of the ego that says, you aren't all you're affirming right now. You know you. You know your inner motives. And that kind of inner talk can sabotage our claiming the truth about ourselves. So we don't always know what's going on inside us. As James Allen said, and as a man thinketh, the situation of a person's soul may be known to them, but probably isn't. And so we really have a hard time judging it with somebody else. My point here is that I believe we need to take a neutral idea about what we see in the world to begin with, and know that what's going on, no matter what it is designed for the highest good and growth of everyone. Now, this was a particularly difficult pill for me to swallow when I first started the study of unity and metaphysics. I tend to be a very empathetic and sensitive person, and when I see people suffering or going through things that are difficult, I want to go in and help and change things. Well, I had to learn to walk the thin line between giving sympathy, empathy, and compassion and not getting in the way of the growth of a soul in the person that I saw. Sometimes the hardest things that we see people go through, they're making the greatest strides inwardly. And I believe that's carried into eternity. Whether you believe in reincarnation, or whether you believe that we go on to another plane of being, whatever this is, we take these experiences with us. And they are for soul growth. Soul growth is what it's all about, really. You see, this body we will eventually lay down. The ego that we have, our preferences, our wants, our experiences in life, will lay down. And I believe with all my heart that we will return finally to the love that we are. It's my feeling and my conviction that as we go through these lessons designed for our growth in life, we should not be judging ourselves harshly or anyone else because we don't know what is being healed in that moment. The greatest thing in the world, then, is love, as Henry Drummond said in his small book. But I'd like to extrapolate this into another dimension. The greatest thing in the world is to see rightly. Jesus said, "Judge not according to appearances." In other words, we don't have the knowledge of everything that's going on. We see through our own perception and sometimes through a very narrow prism. We have to believe, we should believe, and I believe it is proper to believe that everything that is happening is going to be for the highest good of all concerned. In other words, I believe this universe is rigged in the favor of everyone who ever lived, who lives, and will ever live. It's not only a unity principle. This goes back far, far, and many years and thousands of years when humankind first reached towards growth and looked up and saw a world that was alien, trying to make sense of it, trying to survive, and not having a lot of time to think about these heady things like spiritual growth. It was the infancy of humanity, and it was thunderstorms were something that the gods did when they were angry, or earthquakes, or fires, or droughts, or famines. These were all things that were signs of an angry God. Well, we know that's not true now, or at least most of us, I hope, know that's not true. They are natural phenomena for the place that we have chosen to enter this dream called life, designed for our higher growth. And as we progress and we go through the years, we accrue knowledge individually and as a group of humanity. And what I like to think is the greatest thing in the world is love. To love it all. To look back at even those folks that we think got it wrong, that said God's an angry thunderbolt throwing disease giving God, that was just their understanding. That was what they were trying to do to make sense of the world that they had at that time. You see, it was always about reaching up and trying to understand. And as we move from century to century, we seem to be getting better and in some ways slipping back. We still haven't learned a very important lesson that I believe we all need to learn. You can't choose up sides on a round planet. We are eventually going to have to learn how to coexist and love one another. Marianne Williamson said in her wonderful book, A Return to Love, if there was nothing left but two people on the face of the earth, we would still have to learn how to love one another. Now, I know that there are plenty of what we could see as unlovable people out there. And I know that there are people that are not expressing their God-given potential in the ways that we think it should be done. In fact, some things are really straining our credulity and our sense of understanding when we see them happening. To me, that's the time we turn to the presence within and we say, I don't understand this, but there is a higher part of me that does. There is the divinity within. I can call on that. I can see things rightly. I can practice the metaphysics, the love, the wonder of unity or any other discipline that seeks to understand and give of itself inside of us, whatever discipline that is. Some meditate, some go to church, some join clubs, some want to be social about it and meet together and talk about it. Whatever it is, whatever that furthers your understanding of yourself and others is something that I believe is a wonderful thing to do. We gather here every Sunday in an effort to do just that. We want to remember the love we are and we want to take that love out into the world. That's what we're about. Love is an active thing. So I do believe the greatest thing in the world is love, but I also believe that love has some subheadings. One of them is understanding. I came to a belief that a person was not their wealth, and it wasn't their material possessions. It wasn't what they had done. In fact, I need to say a little more about this. When I was asked what a man was, and I asked myself that, it took me a little while to get the definition right for me. And I could say this for a woman, but I was asked what a man is, and I will say, it is what he or she understands about themselves and about others. Understanding is compassion. And compassion is what separates us from brutes. We are called on to be the light of the world. Christ Jesus said so. And I believe that the greatest thing that we can do is seek to understand ourselves first and then others. With proper self-understanding, we can give it to those who need it. Otherwise, we can rush in with all kinds of ideas about how it should be done, do it this way, do it that, and we don't know because we're not grounded and we haven't thought and we haven't put ourselves in their position. What I'm trying to say is we're so much alike, all of us. And we pretty much go through the same sorts of things. But our egos want to close around us and say, it's only me that's going through this. It's just, you know, it's uniquely me. And then if we challenge that, or I challenge that with somebody, they say, no, I don't want to give that up. This is my identity. It hurts and I deserve it. Well, you know, you can take a dose of prussic acid or cyanide. And you can say, I deserve to quit feeling the pain. But it also ends it. The best way to end the pain is to understand it. To understand the growth in yourself and to understand the growth in others. And that is an act of love. You see, when ministers say love is the greatest thing, it can sound so high and mighty, and it can sound, you know, wonderful. But what does it mean? What does it look like on a daily basis? Does it mean I walk around and hug everybody? Does it mean I just look at somebody and say, I love you? And they say it back and we go our separate ways? Or am I involved? Do I care? And do I want to make a difference with them? I wouldn't be in ministry, and I don't think many would be in ministry, if they didn't believe they could make a difference in somebody's life. Metaphysics to me and unity to me is not just saying affirmations and saying, I'm not involved after this and I walk away. We get involved, but we get involved in people's life in a positive, affirmative way. We look for the good in every circumstance. That's one of the greatest things in the world, to be able to empathize and sympathize with somebody else, somebody who's going through this, somebody else that hurts. That is the greatest thing, and to give of ourselves when we come from a place of wholeness. And that's the heart, the warp, the woof of what I want to say to you today. We can't be all we're meant to be until we've taken care of this thing called us. And by taking care of that, I mean giving up our judgments of ourselves, our acquired negativities, our pains, the things we halo that we think make us who we are. Sometimes we define ourselves by the pain we go through. Sometimes we say, I just can't help it. I've always been that way. I want to tell you that today you are what you choose to be. You can drop a thought about yourself in a moment. I remember Dr. Wayne Dyer telling a story about a woman who came to his office who said, I am a very neurotic person because I never learn how to ride a bicycle and it bothers me and we need to talk about it. And Wayne Dyer said, we're going to talk about it for about 5 minutes and we're going to go down and get on a bike. She said, but don't you want to know why my mother and father made me afraid of this type of expression, this type of thing that I wanted to do as a child? He said, no. Really don't. He said, we're going to get on a bike and we're going to ride. And they did. You see, we can talk something and categorize something and never really do anything about it. Sometimes we're called on just to get on the bicycle and wobble and fall and get up again and keep going until we make it. That's what I think is the power and the glory of being humans. We get to choose. We get to decide in wonderful ways how we're going to express ourselves. And the rules for self-expression really aren't that numerous. Love yourself first so that you can love others properly. If you've ever seen somebody that doesn't love themselves trying to love somebody else, you've probably seen a disaster of a relationship. Half people that are feeling like they're half people will seek half people. The attraction works that way. And when you come from a place of wholeness inside, when you're grounded in who you are, when you have forgiven yourself for your self-judgments, the judgments of others, and the acquired negativities that you have, and you step forward into a new life, you are ready to be of help to somebody else. And you will be. Because you will mirror and model self-love, self-acceptance, high self-worth, the things that Christ Jesus said we embody as God's children. They call it self-esteem. You can call it self-worth. What I call it is love, unconditional love inside us. We have the choice to choose love or fear. Anger, resentment, or forgiveness and compassion. And as we do that, our soul accrues the energy of a compassionate, loving, wonderful person who's ready to step into the next experience of life. We let go of those things that are lesser and we claim the greater. I don't know if any of this sounds complicated to you, because it really isn't. I'm going to say it real simply, in a way that I think has worked for me and I know for others. But what I did when I began the practice of metaphysics 40 years ago, and I was pretty much a babe in it, I just realized that I was going to do some things at times that I didn't understand. That's part of what I call the human condition. And when I went forward, I might look back and say, that wasn't such a good idea. So I'm going to forgive myself right now for the mistakes that I'm going to make, because I'm new at this thing called life. So I tried to live in a state of grace. I tried to cut myself a break. Sometimes I did. A lot of times I held it against myself. When I always practiced self-forgiveness at one point or another, and I released the judgment of myself, so long as I never set out purposely to be cruel to anybody, and I haven't, then I could very easily let those things go that were not for my highest good, so that I could walk forward. I could keep my slate inside as clean as possible. That was one thing. Then I forgave others, and that was hard to do, because I felt aggrieved. And there were times that at night I wanted to go out and tell somebody off and let them have it for what I perceived they'd done to me. But they hadn't done it to me. They had done it to the opinion of myself. They had wounded my ego. So what's the problem there? Let it go. I hold on to it. I hurt. I let it go. I flourish. I feel better. Resentments are best seen in the rearview mirror. Let it go. I'm not saying that there's anybody in here necessarily holding on to negativity and resentment, but I'm saying by being human, we all accrue certain things that are negativities and little things that we need to let go that can become big things that can help us create and attract things later on that we don't want. In other words, we want to be careful what we set in motion in our emotions and in our life. It does come back to visit us. That's the way of life. It's a circle. Florence Scovel Shinn said, life is a game of boomerangs. What you send out invariably comes back to you. Therefore, if I'm grounded inside and I have forgiven myself and I have loved myself for all the mistakes this flesh is heir to, then I'm in a better place for the next step and the next one after that. Love yourself enough to forgive yourself. Love yourself at least the way God loves you, unconditionally. Love others. And I don't mean that you have to go and try to have an emotion that you don't feel. I mean love them in the way that they are another human being trying to make it just like you are. And for that, they deserve some love, some support, some understanding. This is how we build a better world. Metaphysicians and unity ministers and science of mind ministers and many of us in this business have been accused of saying, you are very self-centered. You can say affirmations only about yourself, and you don't seem to care about others. That's not true. Because those very affirmations and those very things that we do to help make us better people, we carry to others. When we're whole, we help others be whole. We can't do this without it showing to everybody else. And if they catch it, all the great. If not, they'll get it someplace else. This whole thing is rigged for our growth. That's what I love about life. I may not understand the reasons that I'm called to go for through all the things that I do. And I may not understand why somebody else is called to go through those things. But I know I have the ability to choose what I think about what I go through and what they go through. And I tend to believe that encircling it with love is the best thing I can do. That's the best place to be. Love is never wrong. You can't love too much. And I don't believe that negativity and resentment and hatred ever gets you anywhere except sick and tired. And when you get tired and sick of being sick and tired, you change. And you change to the love that you knew you had to be in the first place. You see, a lot of time's gone by and you could have done it so much quicker if you'd forgiven yourself, forgiven others, and walked in a different way. We like to collect sometimes these resentments, and we like to collect grievances. For some reason, that's just part of our humanity. But we always have the opportunity to turn and choose once again. I love the Course in Miracles because it says, and it puts the onus on us right now. It says, every encounter is a holy one, and I get to choose once again, no matter what I'm going through. I can return myself to the love that I am and operate from that basis. Love yourself. Love others. Take care of yourself so you can take care of others. And remember, this life is a classroom designed for your higher education, so use everything for your upliftment, advancement, and growth. Everything that crosses your path. It's really a wonderful life. We just have to remember that. So I will say, the greatest thing in the world is love. But I wanted to take it a little further and say why it is that. And the reason why it is because when we're loving, we are being godlike. We are being Christ-like. Many people can say, I'm a Christian. Seems that very few can say, I'm Christ-like. A label or a way of life. We get to choose. And we've all seen that example. My hope for this, for you this week, is that you go forward with a recommitment to love yourself and to love others and to give the understanding that you have of who you are and the gift of who you are to others. And that way, we make a better world. Not by fiat of a politician or a leader or anything like that, because we're leading ourselves. We're standing in our own power and we're making new decisions. God bless each and every one of you as you make those decisions. And I affirm your best is yet to come. And I salute the Christ in you. And I see wonderful things for each of you. God bless you, and so it is. Thank you.